Okay, now let's pray together. Heavenly Father, who loves us, you're full of mercy and love. We were far away from you and lived inside our own sins. We were lost, but you have found us and saved us. You made us your children and gave us the eternal and glorious hope to enter your kingdom of heaven. And we thank you and praise you and glorify you. In this time, brothers and sisters, saved by your precious blood, are gathered here together. We praise your love and grace. We learn your word and have fellowship together. We thank you for allowing us all of this. In this time as well, we know that you are with us. There are brothers and sisters who couldn't be here today. Wherever they are, look after each and every one of them and be with them. And let them have your abundant grace more and more, and your life and your truthful word. Let them be renewed inside you and be holy. All over the country and all over the world, there are many churches. Because of the global pandemic, we are having many limitations and difficulties. But even in these times, let us rely on you and preach the gospel. Look after each and every one of us and provide us with your righteous grace. Let us hold on to you and let us live for your glory. Let us be renewed inside you every day and rely only on you. To those who are sick, Father, please heal them quickly. To those who are in their weaknesses and temptations or tests and difficulties, Father, please help all of them with your word and the power of your hand, and let no one stumble down. You provide us the word according to the season, and you teach us how we have to live. Father, in this time as well, please open your word that you want to give us today. And provide us your grace. We pray it in the Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's open Psalms. Psalms chapter 115. Psalms chapter 115. We will read by turns, and I'll start. Psalms 115, from verse 1 to the end. Psalms chapter 115, I'll start and we'll read by turns. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May you be blessed by the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. Okay, now the choir will praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Let's open the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1 to 5. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1 to 5. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Okay. Because of COVID-19, there are many people being diagnosed with the disease, and we are having more limitations here in Korea. Until this disease goes away, we have to rely on the Lord even more. And we have to be under the protection of the Lord and His rule. We have to keep our faith in the meantime. But here, right in our room here, the best places are empty. I hope those who guide people to sit down on their seats, let them sit on the good seats. Anyway, when there are difficult times, we have to learn how to rely on the Lord even more. And as Christians, we should not shake, but stand strongly in the Word, and show our obedience to the Lord. And I think the disease won't go too long. I think the disease won't go too long, but until then, we will be under the guidance and protection of the Lord. We have to hold on to our faith and continue the good works. And today we're going to learn about these verses we just read in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to learn about the topic, the living and the dead. While we live in this world, sometimes there is war, and also there may be famine. And people die because of those things. There may be earthquakes, pandemics, diseases. There could be many disasters. Let's say a big boat is going in the sea, but there is a great wave coming, and the people are about to die. In those times, people try to survive, and people try to help them survive and do their best to rescue. But when there are difficult times, you can see that there are people who live, but also people who die. And how many will survive the disaster, and how many will die? Well, in the end, you get these statistics of who lives and dies in the world, and we know that there are many difficulties in this world, and we're living in these end times, and when God sees us, he will see the living and the dead. He will be able to discern who's living and who is dead. It's not about the flesh living or dying. It's about the spirit. Is the spirit alive or is the spirit dead? That's how God sees us. And as we well know, those who are born again are the living in front of God, and those who are not born again are the dead in front of God. Those who received eternal life and those who will die and go to the eternal destruction are different, right? In heaven, you could have eternal life and glory forever together with God, but those who are dead, whose spirit is dead, go to hell and stay there forever. Hell is eternal death. Death is not the end. They are lost from God forever, and they suffer in hell. So after death, there will be eternal heaven and eternal hell. And we know through the Bible about this fact. In Matthew 25, verse 31, it says, the Lord said, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He said that, and then verse 41. Then He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So in Matthew 25, verse 46, it says that, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. People will be discerned into who those who live and die. The living will go to heaven, the dead will go to hell. So when God sees, He will know that there's the living and the dead. If you look at Revelation 20 from verse 11 to 15, it says that earth and the heaven fled away. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. And the dead were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found and written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So those who are not born again will stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ. They will be thrown to the eternal lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and its angels. This is a very, very surprising and fearful thing, but it is a fact. It is something that God has planned. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says that He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Paul was imprisoned in Rome, and he wrote to the Ephesian church. So when Paul was in Ephesus, did he go to a grave and revive dead bodies? No, it's not talking about this. Here it says you were made alive, were dead in trespasses and sins. If you look at Genesis 2, verse 7, it says that God breathed into the man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. But if you look at verse 16 and 17, God told Adam, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God made man after his image, and man, man was given eternal life, but in order to go into the eternal life, you need the qualification. You have to pass the test. It's a very simple test. God made angels, a lot of them. It's hard to count the number of the angels because there are so many. And among the angels, there was Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. But now Lucifer wanted to become like God. He had a proud heart, an arrogant heart. He fought against God. And then he was cast out with 1/3 of all the angels. That event is written in the Bible. And the devil fought against God. He was supposed to go through the test and then he could get the glory, but it seems that he failed. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, on the second day, God made the firmament, and it doesn't say that God liked it because the devil was in charge of it. Adam was not able to see the devil, but God was, and God allowed the devil to test Adam. And Adam could fear God and obey him or disobey God and listen to the devil. God allowed the test to test the qualification for eternal heaven. It's a simple test. No, there were many, many fruits in the Garden of Eden. There was only one tree that Adam was not able to eat. There was a tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat from the forbidden fruit, you die. Do not eat. Behind that doesn't mean that if you eat it, there's poison there, you're going to die. It doesn't mean that. God allowed the devil to test man. And the devil tries to make man disobey God. The devil says, eat, you will not die. The devil says the opposite thing. So you have to win against the devil's test, and then you could eat the tree of life. But if you disobey God, then you'll be cast out in front of God and go to the eternal hell fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Man has a choice between God and the devil. Man could either obey God or disobey him. Man had the freedom to choose. And as we well know, Adam made the wrong choice. He fell down by the lies of the devil. So Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They ate from the forbidden fruit and they died that day. What died? Not their flesh. Adam lived 930 years and died. And the Garden of Eden had a different environment from us. And dying means that the connection is gone. The connection with God is broken. No matter how much you love your children, if your child is dead, he's dead. You can't love him anymore. The love of giving and taking, that relationship is broken. If your child is dead, you have to bury him. And as soon as man committed sin, the connection was broken. And now, just like when the cell phone loses a connection instead, the connection between man and God was broken. So, the spirit is dead. So man lost man lost the connection with God and died, and from then the sin came in and all the bad things came into the world. And if man dies like that, they die. Man dies and goes into the eternal hell. So, all people are born in Adam, born as sinners, and all sinners are spiritually dead. We were far away from God and born dead. Our flesh is alive, but the spirit is dead. And when God sees man, everybody's dead. All is dead. Let's say a dead man is walking. Think about it. You know, these days we have so-called zombies, right? Dead man is walking. And you know, the zombies in the movies, they look terrible, right? The zombies do terrible things in the movies, but in reality, those who are dead, whose spirit is dead, there are many good people. They're rich people, powerful people, politicians, smart people. They're just normal people. But when God sees, they are dead. You know, I went to the States before and went to the funeral. And one of our brothers died, and I went to the funeral. And so they had this small place for a funeral, and the participants came to the funeral, and in the middle there is the coffin, and the coffin was carried to the place of the funeral, and the coffin was like half open, and the dead man was lying there just like he was sleeping, wearing good clothes and had makeup on, and he just looked great, but he's dead. And soon he will go down to the earth. And I was there on that funeral, and I was looking at everything and thought, you know, the people of the world have beautiful appearance. And they are kind of like beautiful in the world, but they're just dead, just like that. But the problem is, after they're dead, they don't just go to the grave, they go to eternal hell. Those who are not written in the book of life, they go to the lake of fire, right? But people don't know that. But when God sees people, those who are not born again, they are all dead. And the moment that you're dead, you start to decay. And if you start to decay, you rot, you smell, and you have to go to the ground then, right? In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Even if the flesh is alive, if the spirit is dead, then what can you do about it?" And among everything that God has created, the heart is deceitful above all things. Man can't smell the rotten heart, but God does. And all the bad sins of the world is just like the rotten smell, the stinking smell of the dead. So the dead may be walking, but he is stinking while he walks. Even in Psalms 14, verse 1, it says that the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." Man is doing bad, sin, evil. They have done abominable works. Abominable means that it's really disgusting. And that is how man looks in front of God. Abominable. So the works of the dead, the works of the dead, are dead, right? So Ephesians 2 verse 2 says, 2 and 3 says, "In which you once walked, according to the course of this world, before we were born again, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." We were dead. And when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we walked according to the course of this world. The course of this world is the course of sin. Romans verse 12 says, "Do not follow this generation, this abominable generation. Don't follow it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." But people who are not born again just follow the course of the world, the will of the devil, just like leaves flowing and flying by the wind. They follow the prince of the power of the air. And they're just flying away in that wind all the way down to hell. People just follow the world, follow the prince of the power of the air, and they go to hell. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, and those who are not born again are all sons of disobedience. Among them, there are people who are morally good. There are people who were born in a Christian family, lived the so-called life as a Christian, but when God sees them, they're all dead. They're not born again, they're dead. their works are all works of the dead. And people follow the world, the devil, the evil spirits, and the air. According to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, all who are not born again are following him. And that spirit is working inside them. Verse 3, Ephesians 2, verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We followed the lust of our flesh. We were living in our rotten flesh, and inside there the devil is working. If you look at Genesis, after Adam committed sin, the woman said, oh, the serpent, he tricked me. That's why I ate. So if you look at Genesis 3, the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And the devil eats from the earth, the flesh. The devil works inside man and makes man follow his flesh. But you know when the snake bites the frog, once the frog is bitten, it tries to get out, but the fang is already inside the body, and eventually the frog dies. And when you look at it, the snake bites the frog tries to get out, the snake waits, and then the snake eats. That's how the devil works inside man. The devil waits until you lose strength. We followed our flesh. We all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Some people commit sin, luxuriously, and others very poorly. But it doesn't matter. Sin is sin. And we as well were by nature children of wrath. You know, once I saw a movie title, and the title was very bad. It was The Sons of Darkness. The movie title was Sons of Darkness. It's like the sons of the devil who has the power of darkness, you know? In John 8, verse 48-44, they say, God is our Father. But he said to them, no, you won't. If God were your father, you would love me. But you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. The so-called chosen people of God killed the prophets of God and then finally killed the Son of God. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And we once lived like that before. And if we were born as Jews, we would probably follow the Jewish leaders and crucify Christ together. That's how we were born. We were just as all the others. We were sons of disobedience. We were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. That is the works of the dead people. That's just how a dead man is supposed to do. So in Hebrews, it says, all the works of dead men are dead. Dead works. No matter how fancy it may look, when God sees it, they're all dead. Dead people do dead works. The Jews gave tithes and kept their laws and tried to follow God, but whatever they did was dead. But as Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, and you he made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins. God made us alive. God saved us. And you he made alive. Why did God make us alive? How did he do it? If you look at verse 4, Ephesians 2 verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We followed the prince of the power of the air, the devil. We followed the lusts of our flesh. We did whatever we wanted to do. We committed sin. We are bound to wrath and judgment. We are sons of disobedience. We were made alive by God. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. You know, this verse is an amazing verse. Mercy. Mercy is having compassion. Even if your son is ugly or doesn't listen to you, parents love their child. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and that is when God loved us. Even when we betrayed God, committed all kinds of sins, when we were enemies with God because of our evil deeds, we were far away from God, we were lost, we were following the power of the devil, we were serving the devil, that is when God loved us. Why did God love us so much? Because inside us, there was the spirit made after God's image. We were made after God's image for God's great purpose. We have the spirit inside us, made for God's purpose. God made man after his image and gave us the soul. He gave us his love, his life. He wants us to take us to his kingdom and live together forever with him and have glory together with him. He wants to make us like him. That's why God made us after his image. But man betrayed God. But God did not forsake us. Although man betrayed God, forsake God, but God did not forsake man. God had compassion for us. God has mercy for us. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. God's love is different from the manly love that we talk about all the time. You know, man, when man loves someone, there has to be some value out of it. He has to get something out of that love, you know? If you love somebody, you want something back. Man's love is so manly. Can you love your enemy? Even if you try, it doesn't work. You can't love your enemy. Man's love is so conditional. But the love of God is the love of agape. Unconditional love. There is no condition for his love. Even if man betrays God, even if we are his enemy, God still loves us. Even when we follow the devil. Because there was the spirit made after God's image inside us, God has compassion for us. He has mercy for us. God doesn't want us to lose our souls. If you look at Isaiah, God said, "For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me, and the souls which I have made." Although God punished man and cast Adam out of the Garden of Eden, that's not what God wanted. God doesn't want to hate us. He doesn't want to kill us. He wants to love us. He wants us to repent from our sins and come back to him. There's no true peace for a sinful man. He wants us to know that. We have to repent and come back to him. God's love has never changed. So he could be angry for a while, but he will not contend forever. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me, and the souls which I have made. He doesn't want that. God does not deny himself. God is love. So, with the great love with which he loved us, the great love is inside my heart, shining brightly inside my heart, I praise. There's some kind of lyrics like that. Sorry, I can't sing it for you. But God's love is amazing love, great love, eternal love. No matter how sinful we are, he still loves us. You know, people say, "Oh, I am so dirty, I'm so sinful, I'm such a coward, I always fought against God. If there is a God, he'll probably hate me. Oh, I don't deserve his love, I deserve hell, I'm going down to hell. Oh, I'm lost, I cannot be forgiven. Well, I have no choice, I'll just live in my sins and go to hell." There are people who say that, but they don't know that. They don't know that God's love is greater than our sins. His love is so great, he could wash us again and again and forever. Isn't that so? Man doesn't go to hell because God forsakes them. Man goes to hell because he rejects God's love. Although we may disobey God, if we accept his love, we don't die. People go to hell because they reject God's love until the end. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. God wants to make us alive. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he wants to make us alive together with Christ. God loves sinners. Let's say some people beat his son till death. Let's say somebody beat somebody's son until death, but if the father forgives him, then what can you do about it? You know the pastor Sun's story? Somebody killed his son and he was caught by the police, but the pastor said, let me take care of the man who killed my son. What are you going to do? I'm going to make him my son. And the police were so confused, but let him do what he wanted to do. And the pastor really made the murderer, his son, he adopted him. And I read the book, Love Bomb, The Atomic Bomb of Love. It's a true story. And God loved us so greatly that he gave up his only begotten son. He sent his son in the form of man, made him die for us, and gave all the sins of the world to his son. And his only son was judged so that we are not judged. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. A sinner can't get his sins away by crying with tears or doing good deeds. That's not how you're saved. Even if a sinner deserves the bottom of hell, if he accepts the love of Christ, he could be saved. Believing in Jesus Christ means accepting God's love. 1 John 4 verse 9 says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." God's love was manifested like this. How? God's only begotten Son was sent into the world in the form of man, took all the sins of the world, and died on the cross so that we might live through him. That's the love of God. John 15 verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends." We're not even good friends, we're bad friends. Bad friends that are trying to kill our friend, and that friend died for us. And there's no greater love than that. God's only begotten Son, he wanted to be friends with us, and we killed him. He wanted to be eternal friends with us. So he gave up his life for us, so that we may be friends with him. You know, that love is something that we can't measure. That is an amazing love. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "When we were still sinners, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for us. That's how God demonstrates his own love toward us. He didn't love us only with his word. He loved us so much that he gave up his own son to die for us on the cross. That's how he manifested his love toward us. Isn't that really an amazing love? In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ compels us." Born-again Christians are completely compelled by the love of Christ. "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." The only begotten Son of God, the holy God himself, died for a sinner like me. Wow. "And one died for all, then all died. Inside all, we, each and every one of us, are included. Among us, if there's anyone who is not saved yet, you have to know that Jesus died for you. When we did not know about God, when we were still inside the world, even before we were born in this world, God knew that we will be born as sinners in Adam. He knew that we will commit sin. He knew that we will commit sin, betray him, and live in sin. But that is when God loved us. When we did not know God, when we were in sin, God loved us first. To save us, God made a plan. Because of one man, Adam, everybody became a sinner. And because of one man, Jesus Christ, if he dies for all, then all dies. So when it says then all died, it means for sin, we are dead. Jesus died for all of us, for all of our sins. So for the righteous, some may die, brave may die, but for a sinner, who will die? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. And think about us. We were sinners. We deserved death. And he died for us. Would you die for a sinner that did only bad things? I don't know. But Jesus died for us. If you look at John, if you look at Revelation 1 verse 5, it says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, Jesus died for us. With his precious blood, he cleansed and washed our sins away. That is the love of God, the love of God. The fundamental basis of our salvation is the love of God. Unconditional, great, amazing love of God. Nothing but that. Only love. Without love, who can be saved? The wages of sin is death. To save us, just like John 5 verse 21 says, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. To save the dead, Jesus was sent, but because the wages of sin is death, somebody has to pay for that. And a long time ago, the Israelites, if there's somebody who borrows money and can't pay it back, they are sold as slaves. And a slave should serve the master for his whole life. To free that slave, he has to pay for the price. Because the wages of sin is death, a sinless man has to die. So, 1 John 3 verse 1, it says that he has no sin. 1 John 3 verse 5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. He died for us on the cross. He shed all his blood, and he paid back for all of our sins. Romans 5 verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint because of the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, the Son of God, came down to this world, took away all the sins of the world, died on the cross, shed blood. All of his blood was spilt on the cross. In Hebrews 9 verse 12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. God's love toward us was fulfilled on the cross. When Jesus died, he said, it is finished. That is how God manifested his love, how he demonstrated his love toward us. And that love, the Holy Spirit made us understand. The Holy Spirit put in that love inside us. So 1 John 4:16 says that, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He did not only love us, he loved the whole world. And Jesus did not die only for us, he died for the sins of the world, the whole world. You know, the people of the world go to destruction because they don't know the love, because they don't believe. So, no? The love with God loved us, the love that God loves us with, can save anybody. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, and Jesus came to save us. And to save us, the Lord had to die, and he finished the works of salvation. Now, Isaiah 44, verse 22 says, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Jesus died on the cross, and our sins were like a thick cloud between God and us, but they have been blotted out. They were erased, taken away. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And now we have to believe in this. If our sins are not taken away, how can a sinner go to God? Can we go to God by our own works? Can you go to God by your own righteousness? Even if we are really righteous, as Isaiah says, our sins and our righteousness is all like an unclean thing, like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The people who think they are born again try to add up their own works on the works of Christ. And that's not how you're saved. In Galatians, it says, we're not made righteous by the law. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. My works should be zero, then God's work could be 100%. Isaiah 1, verse 18 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. No matter what kind of bad sinner you may be, you could be white as snow, you will be clean, and we are already cleaned. So Hebrews 10, verse 12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And verse 14 says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. We are sanctified forever by his one offering. Isn't that amazing? How? By the love of God. By his great mercy, by his great love, we were made alive together with Christ. Being born again means that your dead soul is revived into life. So Hebrews 10 verse 17 says, then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. No more. God will remember our sins no more. He does not remember my sins. And why should we be afraid because of our own sins? There's no reason we cannot go in front of God. God will remember my sins no more. Who's going to judge me? So, we rely only on the words of Jesus Christ, and we can stand in front of God proudly now through Jesus. Now, this is an amazing thing. So, 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. We were all dead inside Adam, but we received life inside Christ. Whether you know it or not, everybody is a sinner and died inside of Adam. But everybody could be alive inside of Christ But you have to listen to the word and know and receive the love of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42 says, 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. He is the last Adam because he finished the curses of Adam. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of the resurrected Christ, and the Holy Spirit lets us know and understand and believe the love of God. And when we believe, we become a living being. So Jesus is the last Adam and became a life-giving spirit. It's a very amazing thing. Let's go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Let's read together. John 5, 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Verse 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Jesus said, he who hears my word and believes in him, those who believe in the grace of God, has everlasting life, are born again, are saved, have everlasting life, the dead is alive, all the same thing, and shall not come into judgment. If you're born again, you have no judgment, but has passed from death into life. They have been delivered from the destiny from hell to heaven. Passed from death into life. From Adam to Jesus. They have passed. God delivered them. This happens in a moment. In the moment you are born again. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Those who are dead in their trespasses and sins, when they listen to the gospel, they can live. In Romans, it says, Romans 1, verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. It is the power of God. The power of God that gives everlasting life. This is amazing. It's not something we could understand with man's wisdom. It is a mysterious power of God. And the amazing love and grace saved us. We are born again by the love and grace of God. John 11 says, talks about the story of Lazarus, who was dead for 3 days. He was rotting and was smelling. His body was decaying. You know, the Jews' grave, it's like digging a cave and blocking the cave with a big stone. And Jesus said, open it. And Martha said, the sister said, oh, Lord, he's dead for 4 days. He's smelling now. Let's not open it. Open it. And they opened it. And probably a stinking smell should have came out. But Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And probably people are thinking, what kind of joke is this? But Inside there, Lazarus came out. He was dead for a few days. You know, the dead are bound with grave clothes. And Lazarus got up, and he was bound in grave clothes, and then he jumped out. And all the people there would have been really surprised. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And inside the grave, Lazarus was dead for a few days. He represents the dead flesh. The dead flesh, dead because of sins and trespasses. But if you listen to the voice of the Lord and obey, you could be alive. Lazarus, come out. If Lazarus said, "Oh, I'm dead, how can I come out?" Jesus said, "Come out." And he listened. That is the word of God. You listen, you can live. Your sins are paid off. Why don't you become alive? Just like Lazarus came back to life, our flesh and spirit, dead in our sins and trespasses, are made alive by the words of Jesus Christ. You know, in Mark 12, verse 27 says, "He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken." People who are not born again think God is God, but the God is not really their God. They don't rely on God. God is not their father if they're not born again. They're dead. God is a God of the living. When you are born again, God becomes your father. We are able to call God our father after we're born again. Romans 6, let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 10. Romans chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11. Romans 6, 10 and 11. I'll read. Romans chapter 6, verse 10. "For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus died because of sin once. He died once and forgave our sins forever, and he is alive to God. And this is written for us. Because Jesus died, we are dead to sin, and because Jesus is alive, we are alive to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. One died for all, then all died. And when Jesus was resurrected, I was made alive. When I believed, I participated in his death and resurrection. So, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how should we reckon ourselves. Oh, I'm dead to sin, alive to God. You know, in Revelation 1 verse 8, Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And he says that he is alive and will be alive forever. Jesus is living. He died on the cross but was resurrected, raised to life. And this verse is written for us. We were also dead because of our sins and trespasses. Jesus said, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." We are made alive together with Christ forever. We have eternal life. We will live forever together with God. We too are alive. You know, some people say, people say me too when they agree, right? When I read this verse, I thought, me too. I'm alive too. I am alive forevermore. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Me too. Amen. We have eternal life in Jesus Christ. The living means that they have a living spirit. They are born again. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 4 says, but for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. The living. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. You know, the lion is the king of the animals, looks cool, but if it's dead, it's dead. No use. Even if you're a dog, if you're a living one, you're better than a dead lion. No matter if you're so great in the world, if you're dead, it's no use. Let's say you are the ruler of the whole world. Maybe you're the president of the most powerful country in the world. But that's a dead lion if you're not born again. No use. Can do nothing for your soul. When the people look at us, we may be useless, but we are living. We are joining. We are joined to all the living. And we are joined to all the living. We have hope. We are inside the church. It means that we are inside together with the living. Now, the life of the living is different to the dead. The living lives like a living being. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans 6, verse 4. I'll read for you. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, let's read together. Read together. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. We should also walk in the newness of life. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, he went down into the water and came back up. That is a shadow of his death and resurrection. When we were born again, we were dead together with him. When he was made alive, we were made alive together. After we are born again, when we receive baptism, we are declaring what happened to us in front of man and God. It's giving a testimony in front of the whole world. We participated in his death. And we were raised from the dead with him. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. We should walk in newness of life, not in the dead anymore. Romans chapter 6, verse 13, I'll read. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, born-again Christians should no longer give their body as an instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but now we should live like the living. We are alive. We should give our members as instruments of righteousness to God. The member is talking about our body. And what are you doing with your body? We have to use our body to obey God's word and use it as instruments of righteousness to God. No longer using it as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but instruments of righteousness to God. It means you have to obey God's word and do what he wants you to do. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Let's open it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 14 and 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, read together. For the love of Christ compels us, because we just judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Jesus died for us, and he was made alive, and he died for all. He had a purpose, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So, now, how should the living live? We should no longer live for ourselves. We should live for him who died for us and rose again. We should live for him, not for us. Of course we should live like this. You know, what do you think? Could the living live like the dead again? No, that's an irony. You can't do that. So Romans 14, verse 7 and 8 says, none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For none of us who are born again lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Amen? Is that right? No, I'm living for myself. I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to die for myself. Then are you a living or a dead? If you are joined to the living, you should no longer walk among the dead. You should live like the living. For if we live, we live to the Lord. What is the purpose that God saved us? So that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again. So if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. We were bought at a price. We don't belong to ourselves. Therefore, with our body, we should glorify God. If we live, we live to the Lord. We die to the Lord. We live or die, we are the Lord's. You know that song? And it's just like that. And now we should live the life of the living. It is completely different from the dead. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9 says, Apostle Paul said, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, living or dead, to be well-pleasing to him. Whether we live or die, we should please God. We should not please ourselves. We should please God. That's what we have to do. That should be our aim. Enoch did not die, but was taken by God while he was alive. Before he was taken, he got witness that he pleased God. After we are born again, we are now people who could please God, and we have to get the witness, the evidence that we please him. He had his testimony. He had this testimony that he pleased God. We have to have that. That is the life of the living. Before we are taken by God, we should please him. We have to have that testimony. We should not say that, oh, I'm born again, not only with our lips, but we should be clearly living like the living. In Philippians 1 verse 20, it says, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Apostle Paul had a wish. But with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul had a wish that Christ will be magnified in his body, whether by life or by death. Whether he lives or dies, he wants to glorify Christ. That was his most earnest expectation and hope. So Apostle Paul said, as I imitate Christ, you imitate me. We should not just boast that we are born again, but we have to show the life of the living. We have to live the life of the living. We are living people, not dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. chapter 4, verse 11, 2 Corinthians. Let's read 11 and 12 together. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. What does this mean? We who live, delivered to death for Jesus. It means sacrifice. Now, we are living just like Jesus died for us and gave us life. There's something we have to do for Jesus. We should live and die for the Lord. Dying means self-sacrifice. When a grain of wheat dies, many gain life. To make us live, Jesus died. And when we die, other people could live. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. This is sacrifice of born-again Christians. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. What should we do? Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Apostle Paul said, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul denied himself every day. He took up his cross every day, and we have to do the same. We should die daily, sacrifice our time, our money, our talents, our everything. For what? So that at least one more soul could be born again. We, the living, can make other souls come back to life. That is what we have to do. As the Father raised the dead, we should do the same. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. And we have to say, me too. We should preach the gospel and save more souls. That is what we as the living have to do. We have to preach the gospel. Galatians 5, verse 24 and 5 said, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who are Christ's. And I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer me that lives. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are crucified with Christ. I am dead. Who lives? Christ lives inside me. Which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now the Lord is living inside me and he is the master of my life. Isn't that how it should be? If you are born again as through the Bible, you should live as a born again as the Bible says. You should be living the life of the living like the Bible says. Now my life has a master. The master is the Lord. If you look at 1 Peter, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Is the Lord the real Lord in your hearts? The Lord is my life. The Lord is my everything. My flesh, my soul, my everything belongs to the Lord. Lord, do as you will. Whether I live or die, I am yours. Can you say that testimony? Isn't that how you should do? 1 John says, 1 John 2, verse 6 says, He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. We should walk as the Lord walked. God gave us a wish to do the good works inside him. Is the Lord your master? Are you doing the will of your master? Do you have a wish to do good, to please him? That is something we have to have. Before, we followed the prince of the power of the air, but now we are different. Now we work with the power working inside us, just as Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The Holy Spirit is inside us and gives us the power to do his works. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not follow the flesh. Now we are alive, we should live the living life. In 1 Peter 4 verse 2, it says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. But for the will of God. That's how we should live the rest of our life. A born-again Christian is now having a new hope. We no longer have hope in the world, but have hope in God. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. God prepared an inheritance for us. It is incorruptible and undefiled. It does not fade away. God prepared that for us. If you look at Psalm 39, verse 6 and 7, it says, Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Although David was the greatest king of the whole world, he says, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. David's hope was not in the world, but in God, and we should have the same hope. The people of the world think, how shall I be rich? How shall I be successful? But they don't know what will happen in one day. Their life is just like a fog that just goes away. That's the life of man. But while we live in this world, we have a different hope. Our hope is up there. We are saved with hope. So the hope we see in the world is not true hope. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have eternal hope. If you look at Revelation 21, verse 2 and 3, it says, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. We live for a place we can't see right now. We're living for a new heaven and a new earth, and we're taking every step, every day, towards heaven. And just like an eagle soars up with the air, we should soar up with the air. We go up through the high place every day. Those who desire in the Lord, go up, just like an eagle. You know, our heart goes up and up. It should go up. And the higher we go up, the land looks smaller and smaller, right? Just like God looks at the world, we should look at the world. The higher we go up towards God, the smaller the world looks like. You know, Does the world look big to you? Is the place over there, the place over there in heaven, look dim? It should look big and clear to you. We will go to heaven soon, very soon. Soon we will be with God together forever. That is our hope. And for that hope, we were born again. We were saved. We were delivered. Don't put your hope in the world. We know that God will come back soon. You who sleep, awake from the dead. Christ will shine upon you. In Ephesians 5 verse 14, it says, therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Jesus said, among those who are alive, there are people who are sleeping. There are people who are born again, but dreaming inside the world. There are people who are wandering the worthless things of the world, sleeping among the dead. Awake you who are asleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The morning light is shining on your face, and are you still sleeping? The light of Christ is shining on you. Awake! Stop sleeping, get up! You're born again, get up. If you're sleeping, you don't know where you are. You don't know where Christians should be if you're sleeping. Christians should be where they should be. If you are sleeping, you don't know what the time is. You don't know where you are. Romans 13 said, now the time the Lord will come back is a lot closer than before. If you're sleeping, you don't know what you have to do, what you're doing. But if you're awake, you know what you have to do, and you do it. You try to find what you have to do if you're awake. You know, in the morning time, I get up early. Oh, today is Sunday. I have to give a sermon. I prepared for a week for this, but I look at my script again and again. Right before I come standing here, I pray. If you are awake, you know what you have to do, you prepare for it, and you give efforts to do what you have to do. But those who sleep may be sleeping among the dead. Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead. How can a living man go to the cemetery and sleep next to a dead body? Do you want to go to the cemetery and sleep like that? You have to get up there. You have to live like a living person. Now, the living should live like a born-again Christian. God will help us to live so. So, the living and the dead. When God sees the world, there are the living and the dead, and now we are made alive. We have to live the life of the living. And when Jesus comes back, he will separate the living and the dead. While we are alive, we have to be separate from the dead. We should not touch what is dirty and filthy. While we live in this world, we should not live the life of the dead. We're living people. We should live the living life. You know the zombies in the movies? When zombies come out on TV, I just turn the channel away. It just looks disgusting, and it's very brutal. And when I think about those zombies, it's just like people who are not born again are like zombies, and isn't that bad? I'm sorry for those who are not born again, but you have to come back to life quickly. We should live like the living. We're not zombies. We should live as the children of God. We should live as how we should, as those who will meet Jesus when he comes back. Let's pray together. Our merciful Father in heaven, we were far away from you. living in our sins. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, but you loved us and had compassion for us. You died for us, and by your blood shed on the cross, our sins were cleansed forever. And by your eternal life and power, you saved our dead souls. You made us God's children, and we thank you. And now we know that we are not the dead, but we are living in front of the Lord. Now let us live our remaining life as children of God. Please lead us and guide us so that we may live that right life. If there are anyone among us who are not born again yet, Father, please help them realize your amazing love and grace. Let them be saved by faith and grace. Let them join the living, and let us all live our life as the living people. We pray it in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let's sing hymns 405.